Again, I'll let you know when 5 minutes are gone.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is going to be, I mean, this is going to cover quite a bit, so I'm going to actually ask that maybe I will go over. Okay, so as Christine says, we are in a major financial crisis at this point. We owe more than $2 million, and we could have our bank accounts attached at any time. And what that would mean is that we wouldn't have money to pay payroll, for instance, and that would basically shut down our whole network. It would put us into bankruptcy, and I'll cover bankruptcy in a little while. Well, I'll just cover it now. A lot of people think that bankruptcy is a panacea. It is not a panacea. You have to pay not only because we have assets. Luckily, we have lots of assets. We are not a broke network. It's great that that's the case, but what that means in terms of bankruptcy is if you go into bankruptcy, not only do you have to pay the Empire State Building in total, we have to pay every other debtor that we owe, which comes out to about $8 million. So it is a lot of money, so we do not want to go into bankruptcy. And the bankruptcy itself will cost $750,000 to $1 million, and we're talking about basically a $2 million $2+ million debt right now. So we don't want to go into bankruptcy. People kind of bandy it about as some kind of a solution. And it is even more of a problem because for 2 years we'd be having to deal with a lot of paperwork and hoops and so forth. So we do not want to go anywhere near bankruptcy, and we have to stay out of bankruptcy. And the best way to stay out of bankruptcy is to pay off all or most of the Empire State Building debt. Empire State Building has been very hard-nosed with us, and we therefore have to be prepared to pay them 100 cents on the dollar immediately. We do have all of these assets. We have this building. We have two buildings in San Francisco. We have a building in Texas, and we have five radio signals. I believe that the KPFK building is off the table as far as being sold. I don't think that that's because the cost of moving it somewhere and relocating somewhere is going to cost as much as we have here, so we wouldn't have money to pay. Although, you know, we don't have to go to all those. Okay, so I think KPFK is off the table. We don't have to talk about that. The issue of the frequency swap is not quite as easy and fast as it could sound. For one thing, our bylaws require that the entire membership vote on a frequency swap. And then a majority of those that vote in favor of it. So this is not, it cannot be done fast.
Throughout the network.
The entire, you know, all the membership of all five stations would have to vote on a frequency because it would be a frequency sale and then a purchase of another frequency. So this cannot happen fast, and probably the only way to get enough money to pay the Empire State Building would actually be to borrow money. Luckily, we have found some loans that are not the horror story of the worst of the subprime. It's not like borrowing money on a house that you can get a 3 or 4% loan, but we do have some options of getting loans that are not so horrible, and the plan, of course, to pay them back is to sell an asset, maybe a frequency swap, maybe two buildings, whatever. I mean, I think there's more of a plan, but I'm not at liberty because this is executive session of the PNB to talk in detail, but it would involve selling something. So it's not like, oh, we're going to borrow money and then we have no way to pay it back. There's the plan is that we're not going to borrow money until we have a specific plan of what we're going to sell or what we're going to swap to pay it back, so that we are not just ending up with months or years of having to pay back a loan. There are negotiations that are ongoing with the Empire State Building. So we're talking to them, and maybe they would hold off if we have, if we're in escrow on something, but maybe they're not. So that's an issue that, you know, that has to be determined. But that's why having a loan, so that if they say no, forget it, we can pay them, and then they cannot force us into bankruptcy. And that's really important. One of the pieces of good news, however, let me explain this a little bit more about the frequency swap idea. I think most of you may be aware at some level that there's the commercial bands of radio, which are the right end of the dial. The higher numbers are commercial. And then the lower end of the dial, where KPFK is, KCRW, KPPC, all the church radio stations, they're all typically on the left side of the dial. And those typically have lower broadcast area, although, as we know, KPFK has a huge area that it covers. In the upper regions, those are commercial stations, and there are different rules about how both of those go. So one of the interesting things, however, about the lower dials, the non-commercial stations, is that you can have a directional transmitter for the lower dials, and you can have for the lower numbers, and you can have a number of transmitters kind of overlapping each other, so that you can end up having a very broad area if you're on a non-commercial wavelength. Whereas if you're in a commercial wavelength, it has to be essentially circular or spherical. So that one advantage that we could have on a if we move to if one of the frequencies were to move to a lower band, is that our lower frequency, is that we could have directional transmitters and not be stuck with a weak transmitter. And I think that, I suspect, I'm not sure about this, but I think that, you know, the fact that we have our KPFK can be heard on all of these different numbers may be a reflection of that. I'm not 100% sure, but it may be that you could, 90.7 could have, if we needed it, could have a transmitter on Mount Wilson, and then it could have a transmitter in Montclair, and both be on 90.7. So so at least there is some advantage, and could be some advantage, and could give a broader demographic, broader numbers, if one of the stations change frequencies. And I just wanted to address the pension plan issue very briefly. So as Christine says, KPFK is in a position to pay off the pension plan debt for Pacifica. Unfortunately, our pension plan is part of a national pension plan, and the pension plan seems to be taking the position that we can't make a partial payment just for us. We have to pay for everybody. And so we're in negotiations about that, and we're dealing with that. And I just wanted to round out that discussion. I think that covers all of the notes that I have, and we could have the rest of. I suggest that we have the rest of the director's reports, and then have questions.
Right, that's the format. So We're going to hear the rest of the directors' reports and then take questions and answers of the directors. Okay. Did you want to go next, Grace?
I would, if that's okay. With
oh, yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go up there, too. Leave that up there.
There's something, Mike.
Bring back the mic.
You can use the chair's mic.
What's this other mic here?
She could use your chair's mic, actually.
Oh, is that a live mic?
Yeah, they're all
one.
Okay, then you can just see if you can. Okay, great.
So you can have a little bit.
Can everyone hear me?
No, I
can't. No?
No, okay. I think that other mic's better.
Okay. All right.
Maybe it's not on.
Here we go. Can you hear me now?
Perfect.
Okay, very good.
It's working. It's just.
Pacifica is at a very, very difficult crossroads. I'm going to tell you a lot, give you a lot of information. I may repeat some of the important things that Jan has already mentioned. There is a $1.8 million judgment against us that was approved by the court in New York because of a debt that's been built up because our station in New York, WBAI, has a very expensive rental for their where they put their transmitter. This contract for this rental agreement, it's a lease agreement, actually, was signed in 2005 by Ambrose Lane, the chair of the National Board, in 2005. He was a director from WPFW. It's a bad contract, a very bad contract. It was, however, at that time, this was after 9/11, and there was really virtually no other place to put the transmitter so that it would get good coverage in New York City because the signal is obstructed by buildings. So you have to place the transmitter at the highest possible point. So Ambrose Lane is now deceased. It was a bad contract, a bad decision. I don't know what the details were of making that decision. Right now, we owe $2.4 million. The summary judgment is for $1.8 million. That's for back rent that we haven't paid over a few years. The judge also awarded the Empire State Realty Trust attorney's fees. We don't know how much those attorney's fees will be. If we don't pay that $1.8 million plus the attorney's fees in a very short period of time, the Empire State Building will be able to attach any and all of our bank accounts and put liens on our assets. That means that fund drive money from KPFK, KPFA, all the stations can be sucked right out of their bank account, out of our bank accounts if we do nothing. The only other thing we can do is file for bankruptcy. If we file for bankruptcy, the bankruptcy itself has been estimated by bankruptcy attorneys to cost, just the bankruptcy costs, $750,000 to $1 million at least. Now, if we don't take out a loan or do something, what will happen and we go into bankruptcy, what will happen is we don't have any reserves. The first thing is the retainer for bankruptcy attorney will be $150,000 right off the bat. And that and all the rest of the bankruptcy expenses will have to come out of the fund drive revenue and any other revenue of the stations, which will make it virtually impossible for them to function. I estimate that in the first few months of bankruptcy, maybe 3 months, it'll run up between $300,000 and $500,000. That will be taken out of bank accounts of Pacifica stations because there isn't any money anywhere else. An effort has been promoted very strongly by senior management to do fundraising, major donor fundraising, and an effort has been ongoing in New York and other places. That fundraising so far has brought in zero money. Okay. So the only way to forestall bankruptcy would be to take a loan out on real estate. I'll let you know that our credit is very, very bad. We have no credit as a foundation. We have a very poor credit rating. You can look this up yourself by going to Charity Navigator, and it will show you what we look like to the outside world credit-wise. This is our situation. We have the possibility of taking out loans on a building, paying off, either negotiating with Empire State. If we have cash on the barrelhead, they may be willing to give us some concession. We have, besides the debt of, the debt right now is $2.4 million. We only have to pay $1.8 million to get out of the summary judgment at this point. So where was I? If we are able to raise $1.8 million, and you know, if any of you are wealthy here or know of wealthy people who want to just give us the money or even loan us the money, we'll accept it. So if we pay the $1.8 million plus attorney's fees, we can stay out of bankruptcy. If we don't do that, we will be in bankruptcy. The bankruptcy, we will not be able to get any loans if we're in bankruptcy. No one will lend to us. We may be able to get a loan, but I've researched this. The interest rate will be 20% or more per year. It's impossible to get loans in bankruptcy. So the bankruptcy expenses would come right out of the bank accounts of the stations to pay the bankruptcy expenses. Now, how do the expenses rack up like that in bankruptcy? What happens is this. Here's another thing that is false information that's been circulating around Pacifica for many years. Bankruptcy does not result in eliminating the board of directors. It does not. Number two, it does not get rid of our bylaws. Number three, it does not result in a trustee being put in charge of Pacifica. That is a very rare occurrence. It would certainly not happen right away. Okay, so we would still have the same board of directors making decisions, tough decisions. We would still have our same bylaws. So that's what would happen in bankruptcy. It's possible that if there's very great dysfunctionality, that a trustee may be put in charge of the bankruptcy and nullify the board. That's possible in the future. Meanwhile, you know, our station operations across the network would be hampered by the ongoing bankruptcy costs. But it's unlikely, according to two bankruptcy attorneys, it's unlikely that we will be taken into receivership or that a trustee will be appointed, because there has to be current gross malfeasance or fraud for that to happen. And right now, the Attorney General of California has gone through everything that they were concerned about. We've rectified all those defects, and they're pretty happy with us right now. So it's unlikely, as the Attorney General of California is not saying we have ongoing fraud or financial malfeasance, that a trustee or a receiver will be appointed. So we'll be stuck with the same board of directors and the same bylaws. Now, a signal swap, as Jan explained, there is no asset that we can sell and get money right away, unless we want to sell something like at 10 cents on the dollar or 20 cents on the dollar. There's no asset we can sell where we can get money right away to satisfy Empire State.
$2 million.
Well, there's nothing. Even if we sold a building, we couldn't get the money soon enough to stay out of bankruptcy, because they have the judgment and they will start attaching our bank accounts. Now, maybe they won't. Now, I'm not really a gambler. They might not. They might not do it for a month or two. But even in a month or two, we're not going to be able to sell an asset to satisfy them, so we're going to be forced, as soon as they start sucking the money out of our bank accounts, we're going to be forced to declare bankruptcy. And in bankruptcy, the money, the expense of the bankruptcy will come out of the station's revenue, bank accounts, and we won't be able to get loans to cover it, and we won't be able to sell an asset quickly enough to pay the expense of the bankruptcy alone. And we will still owe Empire State, and they will bill back to us all their legal expenses and continue to charge us interest on the back money we're not paying them. Okay, so that is the situation. This is a very, very, very difficult situation. On the national board, we're all tearing our hair out. Believe me. Now, a signal swap, to my knowledge, there have not been any reasonable signal swap offers to this at this point. Okay, I'm telling you something. As far as I know, nothing I'm saying is confidential. I'm just telling you the reality of it. Do we want to, in a fire sale, in bankruptcy, be forced to take actions and sell a building or a signal at a fire sale price? Do we really want to? It's estimated that the WBAI signal in the current market at $3 per potential listener. And it's estimated that the potential listenership for that signal is 16 million. I think that's an underestimate. But if you do the math, you'll find that the value of WBAI ranges between 45 million and 50 million. Do we really want to sell it for 20 million? Does that make sense to all of you?
No.
Do we want to sell all of our any of our stations, any of our signals at 20 or 40 cents on the dollar? Do we want to be forced into a bankruptcy where we'll be forced by... Now, what happens is the creditors have a certain amount of control over the bankruptcy process and will have a certain amount of control over our decisions. I can go into that, but I think you get the picture. We're at a crossroads that's really very difficult. Do you think that I wake up in the morning? Every morning I wake up and say, well, maybe I can quit. Do you think I want this? That I want to be one of the people making these really hard decisions, but these decisions are really hard. It's selling or swapping, and we don't even know if a signal swap is possible, or a halfway decent signal swap. If you don't know, if Jan didn't explain it, a signal swap is we sell one of our signals. And we get in exchange money and a slightly less or significantly less valuable signal. Okay, that's what happens. So in New York, we sell our WBAI signal, and it's able to reach 16 million people. With the swap, we get $10 million, or it's $15 million, and a signal that we'd have to move to where we can only reach 12 million people. Okay, that's the quid pro quo. We're giving something very valuable. This is what's hoped for. This would be a decent signal swap where we have only a 10 or 15% reduction in our potential listenership. So we're taking some of the value out of WBAI, the WBAI signal, and we're getting a radio station signal in exchange, plus we're getting some money because we're taking a less valuable signal in exchange for the signal and for money, and we're giving up our signal. Now, that may be a possibility. We may have to make that kind of a tough decision. Or I'm not sure.
Could be another station.
It could be a different station. It could be WPFW. In bankruptcy, if we give over control eventually, which I don't think would happen anyway, because the other important thing that I have to tell you that is that in bankruptcy, we will have to pay off all of our debt. You mentioned that? Okay, all of our debt, all $8 million of our debt. We have a total of $8 million in debt to various different people. And we will have to pay that debt at 100 cents on the dollar. There will be no discount in bankruptcy. Okay? Because, now, you know, if a company has $100 million or $1 million in debt and all of its assets are only $500,000, in bankruptcy, the judge can force the creditors to take 50 cents on the dollar. But we have enormous amounts of assets. Because our assets greatly outweigh our debts, we will have to pay, this is law, we will have to pay 100 cents on the dollar on our debts. There will be no reduction in our debt. The amount we'll have to pay in bankruptcy, there'll be nothing like that, unless there might be a small ability to negotiate down a slight amount, but it's not going to happen. The other thing is the Empire State Realty Trust is a huge corporation. You can look it up online. It owns billions and billions of dollars of real estate in the New York area. Billions. They have hot and cold running lawyers. Their lawyers are probably going to be charging $1,000 an hour. They have been gouging us for the last 12 years. They have been unwilling to negotiate with us. They've been making us pay through the nose $60,000 a month for that tower transmitter site, whereas we could get a comparable tower for $12,000 to $17,000 a month. Okay, they know they're gouging us. That's where they're at. Do you really think that they're going to stop gouging us? I don't think so. That's their pattern of behavior. They've been unwilling to negotiate with us for a settlement, as far as I can tell. So this is the situation that we're facing. And if you have a solution, I am way interested in listening to it. But this is the situation we're facing. It's a very difficult situation, and very tough choices are going to have to be made. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Grace. Jonathan?
Okay, you know what? We were out of time for that. We're on to the Q&A portion.
Okay.
Coming up next.
Well, if you, Mansoor, would like to add to the director's report, I'm
1 minute.
I'll allow you to do that.
Okay, real briefly, I didn't have very much to add. I didn't have very much to add. Most of what you heard was true. Moving forward, not only do we have to worry about $8 million in debt, we have a lot of increased expenses. But then I can't see my notes. We have increased expenses moving forward. Part of our problem, the reason why we're in this lawsuit with Empire State, is because we made a deal to pay only $12,000 of about the $50,000-something due every month. And that was difficult to pay. And we haven't been paying that. So moving forward, we have to pay it all. We have to pay it's going to be about $56,000 a month. Again, you've heard everybody mention the pension money that has to be repaid by Pacifica. So, yeah, Pacifica has a lot of expenses and a lot of problems moving forward, and it's no easy decisions, no decisions that's going to make everybody happy. That's not usually what happens when all of a sudden you find yourself in a bad financial situation and you have to make some really hard decisions. Somebody ends up unhappy. Our CFO is trying to avoid bankruptcy, Chapter 11, because Chapter 11 is difficult. And it seems like that situation like that might be working. Our IED has brokers looking into possible signal swaps situations on our East Coast stations, or maybe more than just the East Coast stations, but definitely on the East Coast stations, because that's where it seems most likely. Our CFO is of a mind to figure out what's the best business situation for us and do that. And that's usually not Chapter 11. So whatever makes the most sense is probably what's going to end up happening on the East Coast. Again, I don't want to go into too much because some of it might be executive session material. But for the most part, hopefully there will be a situation where we can stop, of course, Empire State from locking on our funds anytime this month, because this month is when it could happen. By the end of this month, that might be with a loan with a ironclad plan to do a specific swap or something like that. But the CFO, the IED, brokers, lawyers, and a bunch of directors are seriously working on trying to come up with the right decision, and the right decision is going to, whatever the decision is going to be made this month, within the next couple of weeks, at the next couple of P&B meetings. That's just about it. Just back to the idea of selling our properties is probably off the table, because it would take the selling of all three properties we own. Suddenly, four units that are not paying rent would have to pay rent in addition to the increased expenses that I just mentioned, which really wouldn't make good business sense. And like you said, most of our engineers, our business managers, general managers all think that's a really bad idea, and the best thing to go with will be most likely either a signal swap. And a signal swap isn't always the worst thing. I'm sure you've heard it happen here in Los Angeles. If you ever notice when it happens, the stations make sure, now we don't do a lot of advertising, but other stations do, they make sure that their listeners know where to go to listen to their shows. You know, that's the thing. You have to know where to go to listen to your shows when the time comes. And so a lot of advertising surrounding a signal swap could really be beneficial for that radio station. Because when I was in New York, a problem with all five signal areas is, yeah, you guys have been around for a long time, but, you know, we really haven't heard very much from you. It's a good opportunity. It can be an opportunity to change programming, which is our product. We've been in this, we've been here in this room a long time today, and we didn't talk a lot about changing programming, and that is our product. Our product is our most important thing, and this is an opportunity. Change our product a little bit, spiffy it up, make it more palatable, and at the same time, promote it, so people know where we are and what we're doing. And that's all I have. Mansoor?
Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. Mansoor? I'll stay focused for 1 minute, and that is, I really want to bring it to your attention. We don't want to lose any signals. The signals are very important. Selling a building is really not that big of a deal. Don't be married to a building. And I want to correct Jonathan about one thing. Just because we sell a building, it doesn't mean we have to move out right away. We can pay rent on that to we get the other buildings going. But saving the signal, it's more important than buildings. You can always move from one apartment building to next apartment building, bigger or smaller, but you still have an apartment building. Your car gets totaled, you have an option of buying another car once you get back on your feet and you have your job. Once the signal's gone, there's no way to bring it back. So my emphasis is signal swap in New York. That would save us. And if it needs to be to sell buildings, including KPFT, because they do want to move, and that's a hefty amount of money that would bring it. That said, we do owe $8 million, and it's a contract, and you have to fulfill your contract. That's it.
Thank you, Mansoor. I'm going to take a few questions and answers. So I'm looking for hands up.
Okay.
One moment.
I'm going to make a motion.
Okay, one moment. Okay. I'm sorry. Mr. Aaron, you have a motion.
Yeah, I move that we forego the LSB questions of the directors and go directly to public comment, because I want to move the agenda along. We've had a very detailed explanation of the situation.
And a couple of
questions. I know, but the we don't need questions from the, I don't think there's going to be any benefit of the directors asking questions.
So one moment.
It's a motion.
One moment.
The direct,
do I have a second question?
I second the motion.
Okay. I have a motion to amend.
Okay, one moment before the motion to amend. So, what I understood from the directors, I'm going to take a little executive privilege as LSB chair here for commentary. What I understand from the directors is that a bankruptcy would be an expense on top of everything else. It would not save us any money. It could be an additional $1 million expense. What I understood from the directors is that the sale of the KPFK building at present is off the table. We are not looking at selling the KPFK building. And to add a little bit of information to that, I think that that would be the same for KPFA's property where their station is located. The reason being, one of the reasons being that because our property taxes are protected by Proposition 13, if we were to sell a building, yeah, we can always buy another building, but it doesn't make financial sense
to incur those real estate property taxes on those two buildings where our stations are housed in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Now, that being said, I'm willing to listen to Jan's amendment to Ken's motion.
So my amendment is that the time that we would spend answering LSB questions, that we reserve that time to, and that we make notes of questions that the audience has, and that the and take notes of them, and allow the directors to answer those questions, because I'm sure there are questions, and rather than just have them say things, that we spend another X amount of time answering the questions that have not been answered already in our presentations.
Okay.
Speaking of the proposition to Ken's motion, okay.
Okay. So,
can we vote on? What your motion is to move the questions and answers to after public comments.
No, just the answers. Just not the LSB questions, but to allow time for.
So your motion is to move answers from directors and allow no questions for directors from the other.
Just let the audience ask questions. The listeners. Okay. Have the listener sponsors ask questions.
So LSB members would not be able to pose questions to the directors.
Not at this time.
Okay, so Lawrence was opposed.
They could ask questions also afterwards.
I speak in opposition to Mr. Henry's motion, because a lot of us have been tracking this crisis, and we may have alternative proposals to propose, as I do, to what was already presented to us, kind of like slam it down your throat, take it, and sit down and shut up. I don't agree with that proposition. So I'm not opposed to listening to our listeners and for the directors to, you know, let the questions go into the ether, because that's what happens. At least with the LSB members, we are empowered here to ask these difficult questions and to question our directors, just as the listeners are, and for you to basically tell us, put a muzzle on our mouth and say shut up and sit back and listen, is not okay with me.
Okay, thank you. Hold on.
So, Ken, are you okay with allowing the question and answers after public comment?
Oh, from the LSB?
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, is anyone opposed to that motion? Hearing no one opposed, let's hear public comments.
And I have 12:20, so we can go to 12:35.
Hello.
Hello.
You need to stand back.
Hello.
Yes, to be. It's a line here.
My name is Alan B.
Alan, over here.
Alan,
formed over here.
There's a line.
You don't get to speak.
You need to wait in line, sir.
I've been here all morning in line waiting.
Yes, but people, everybody's been here all morning, Alan. The line formed over here where it customarily is formed.
Let Mr. B speak. Let him speak, and then you guys have your turn.
I hope you won't throw me out for obscenity, but I'm going to speak an unspeakable thought, an unthinkable thought, and that is that we have paid commercials on our radio programs. If we go into a bankruptcy court and a caretaker is appointed who is managing Pacifica, he will look at a license that is worth, they say, $30 million. Well, he'll say in that case we should make at least $3 million a year out of it. How do other people make money? What makes it worth $30 million? Well, because if it was a commercial station, it would make that much on commercials. So we'll just run commercials. That's the way we can raise money with our licenses. I think it is one of the things we should consider.
Sit down. Thank you, Alan. Next.
First, I want to thank Christine and Jan and Grace, and particularly the rest of the directors. I'm glad to hear you lay this out. I especially appreciate Jan, who pointing out that a swap requires the vote of the entire membership of the Pacifica Foundation. So it's not a fix. It's not an immediate fix. I have a couple of questions. I've heard very little discussion or even proposal about the Berkeley buildings, not the building that the station is in, but not the other Berkeley buildings. I want to know if those have been appraised and if those are on the table. Why, if in fact it's not been under discussion? I also am unclear about this $8 million in debt. If we can get some clarification, how much of that is the pensions that have not, that are overdue, the payments to the pension plan? It's 2 point something. What exactly, how do we get up to $8 million? Question. It is a hard decision. And I think that we all have to be talking about it. There's not been a lot of transparency. There needs to be transparency, including who the members of the LSB are and who the members of the PMB are. I could not find it anywhere on either the LSB or PMB sites. We need transparency on all of these issues. And I thank you. It is a hard decision.
Thank you.
70 seconds, please.
Okay, I agree with Sharon about the need for transparency about all these things. I think that the problem has gone on for a long time.
Hold it up this time.
The problem has gone on for a long time without sufficient transparency. I want to ask a few questions quickly. I agree that the extraneous property in Berkeley should be the first thing on the list because it's not being used by any of the stations. It's just sitting there mostly storage. It was a cafe. It's not earning any income. Obviously, having commercials is preposterous. We're all licensed as non-commercial stations, and we can't charge for commercial time. I think the possibility of taking out mortgages against the properties seems to me something that should be explored for all three or four, if the sale can't go through immediately on the extraneous property in Berkeley. I have a question about the swap. 99.5 is donated to Pacifica. I'm wondering if there are any restrictions on the on that donation when it was given to Pacifica to use for WBAI, whether it can actually be swapped away to somebody else and sold. I mean, essentially sold, really. And the last thing is I agree with Jonathan that the question of programming is essential because the reason for this catastrophe is not basically the Empire State Building. It's the fact that all of our stations are not sufficiently serving their communities with programming that attracts the kind of listeners who want what we have to offer. I think we need to really question the drift of Pacifica to the right over a decade or more, and I think that's the fundamental problem that we're dealing with here.
Okay, I second Sharna and Michael. Transparency, transparency. If we don't know who's who, who's on what base, then really everything we are being discussing here, it calls for questioning whether legitimate or not. Jonathan, I have a question for you. What kind of programming changes are you referring to if the opportunity was to arise itself? When Mr. Reza spoke about changing programming and addressed it to our GM, he was specifically, and I have explained this to Alan Minsky, and he seems to be in another planet most of the time, unless he's focused on what he cares about only.
20 seconds.
Is that programming changes. When I give you a steady diet, 24/7, of one person, you come to appreciate that person very much. When all the resources on the station are directed to support that programming, you get to appreciate that person a lot. But changing that diet is what gives you diversity. And that's what has not been done.
Time.
And that's what was attempted by the previous prior GM. And now it's gone. So we need diversity of programming so that people get to hear different voices.
Okay, Bella.
So and don't,
we need to hear different voices.
Exactly.
We'll get back to you.
Right? And why the accounts payable has been increased to $8 million. What are the factors that have been put in there? That's what needs to be addressed. I am a bookkeeper. I know numbers. Thank you.
Let's respect the audience, everyone. Thank you.
I'm just going to speak to one tiny part of this, what I've heard, because really the only person I really want to hear from is the CFO, and I haven't heard that voice yet, who actually has real numbers, not sort of happy talk. But if there is a loan being taken out, somebody else brought this up, the idea of points, and if there are points that are going to be levied on this loan, they need to be disclosed, and they need to be disclosed to the PNB and voted on. So I just want that to be very transparent. And
20 seconds.
I don't know how you can get a loan with vague collateral. What you're going to actually be giving up in exchange for that. That's it for right now.
Thank you, Captain.
Well, it seems the network is in a very difficult position. And when you're, disasters is a possibility. And, what we want to avoid, I think, as Grace outlined, is selling the greatest asset, the Signal in New York, at a substantial discount, in which, something that might be worth $40 million has to be sold for $20 million, which is net $20 million loss. Now, when you're in a difficult situation, I've always been told by my legal advisors the best thing is delay, delay, delay. And, two aspects of that I didn't hear about is there a possibility of appealing this decision, which, regardless of the dubious grounds of success, would give us time to avoid a buyer sale at, of course, I understand a certain cost, but what would that cost be? What's the interest? The other question is, in regards to the real estate option, in the real estate assets, has any consideration been given to selling options on purchase of, for example, the Berkeley or the Texas buildings, which ought to be, priority rather than making hasty decisions about the Signal? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I am Carmen Cortez. I've been a listener of KPFK for more than 10 years. I just wanted to make a very obvious statement to all of you that there is a lack of diversity in the room. It is apparent that the listenership for KPFK is not truly represented here, and it's apparent that the information and the transparency over the issues that's occurring are not in the community is sufficiently enough for the community to really have a power over the station and possibly assist during this moment of financial crisis. And that has a lot to do with the programming, and also that, we are coming into this new moment in time where things are being digitized, and that type of information is also not not apparent in the station. It's becoming an archaic station. So I'm wondering also what is going to be happening with that community connection and those diversity of programs for KPFK. Additionally, there aren't information in terms of additional assets beyond the stations and the signals that KPFK has that, as a previous individual mentioned, could be things that could be sold. And even reaching out to other types of financial institutions that don't have to do with like these large corporate banks, such as SOCAP and other kind of crowdfunding sources.
Thank you.
I think I'd like to second what Carmen has just said in terms of diversity not being reflected in the room or in the programming. I have a question about the summary judgment that was issued on October 4th. According to the New York Superior Court website, the judgment hasn't posted yet. The case shows as open, and I would like to know if the directors are privy to the actual judgment and could share that with the listenership and the membership, because we need to know what exactly is happening. The Berkeley building not being used to transmit is a good option that we need to look into, I think. And taking out loans with signal or licenses as collateral perhaps is another option that should be explored. The bylaws clearly state that all members need to vote when licenses are being monetized, sold, or otherwise exchanged. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. Christine, very impressive. Excellent work. Thank you, and Jonathan and Jan Grace. I think we, in changing technology, I think we have to look at the long-term value of the New York license. I think these license, all of radio is under technological assault. If you look at what happened to cab licenses in New York with the advent of Uber, cab licenses dropped 90% in their value. I wonder what the long-term value of this high-end WBAI transmitting license really is, and if this might be an opportune moment to dump it, because I'm not sure it's going to be worth as much money in the future, even a few months down the road, as it is now. We really need a subcommittee or something to really look at the long-term value of that license. I think it's going to diminish very quickly, and I think it should be sold as quickly as possible. The BAI station is also pretty dysfunctional at this point, so we need to look at that. But this is a spectacular asset, and I doubt that it's going to hold its value. So we really need to look at it very quickly. This may be the opportune moment to sell it, and it may start to diminish very quickly.
Okay, I just want to note that we are nearing the end of this portion for participation. We will have another one. So I would like to extend to take the people that are in the line right now, ending at Ms. Boswell.
Okay.
We have
2 minutes left.
Yeah, so I'm going to extend.
Christine is on the line too.
May I ask you?
I have an interim. Thank you for our interim general manager. And the first thing I want to say is that KPFK needs a permanent and democratically elected general manager now. The second thing I want to say is that I would very, very harshly argue that whoever is pretending or suggesting that our building should be sold is our political enemy. It's an enemy of the station. This motion has been tried many, many times in the past 20 years, past 25 years. And we all know that politicians are behind that. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. This is not the first time we have people encrusted in our station. We all know that. It's in the best interest of those father muckers up in power to shut us down. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is the PNB in turmoil? Why did they cancel their last Friday's meeting? I would like to have an answer to that. Secondly, I think that the idea of getting rid of an immensely valuable signal in New York is the wrong way to go. That signal, that gives you the opportunity now to resurrect New York into what it should be. That should be our goal, resurrect the station so that it reaches the three-state area and does its job. That's what should be the emphasis in New York. As far as the debt is concerned and this current case, you have to realize that no matter what we do at this point to pay it off, you're still going to owe Empire State $50,000 until 2020, and that adds up to $1,500,000. So you have to kind of consider that amount also. You have to get a bid for a lower rate of a lower rate for the antenna, and I agree that the $8 million has to be explained a little more, because to me it seems like the Berkeley building, which is currently valued at almost $2 million, could solve a lot of problems. Thanks.
Thank you.
I want to continue what Bernice said. Is I don't understand why the board members who are on the PNB haven't been working on this all along, because you've been on the PNB for the last year and 10 months, and you guys should have had long-term planning and been on top of it to either sell that Berkeley building or sell the Texas building, but definitely not the KPFK building. That's a paid building. You don't sell an asset you have already paid, and that is very valuable and has low taxes, like Jamie said. You don't do that ever, because that's the sure way to go into bankruptcy and all kinds of problems. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Christine, for your report.
Thank you. Okay, I'll try to make this, because this was coming up when people were talking. So, if we were not to do the signal swap, if it required a vote from the entire membership of all of Pacifica, right, which is like wrangling cats, and it would probably cost us a fortune too. The other possibilities, although this would, it's still, even if these units were for sale or these buildings were for sale, there is a process of, you know, even if you sell a house, it takes a while. You know, you have the papers written up, it goes through the bank system, blah, 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 escrow. As we know, of course, KPFT does want to move. Of all of the stations to sell a building and the property value way more than the building. At KPFK, the building itself and the property are worth a lot. But KPFT, that little house on that large piece of property is worth, and I'm guessing, I totally don't know if it's true or not, approximately $4 to $6 million, as is. They would take the house off right away.
Not what?
Not quite? Four? Three?
No cross talk, please.
Okay. Anyway, at KPFT, which wants to move, if they sold the property, however many million comes from that. Also, the Berkeley building that is housing the national office, I have offered as interim general manager to make room and space for the few employees that are from national to come to KPFK. We will house them. We will welcome them. I think it would be great that we could communicate better. We have the archives. We have KPFK staff. Why not have a few more people? So that building can be sold as well. All of these in real estate will take some time, so I would suggest to get a short-term loan using, yes, we would have to use as collateral on the loan some of the other buildings that we own, but it's short-term, meaning that these sales are not just, they might happen, but they are in the process. If those sales are in the process of happening, then you can do the loan. The other reason why KPFT is probably a smart option to sell the building is because KPFT, it is completely volunteer-run for programming. There's only a few staff members. Even the general manager, which is interim, is volunteer. So we're talking about a couple staff as opposed to KPFK, where there's, you know, a lot, or even BAI. So that's my quick suggestion. If we're not able to do the signal swap after the vote and it takes forever, KPFT, Berkeley building, sell them. And in the meantime, of course, get that short loan to pay, because we have to, in a week or two, we have to pay that Empire State Building amount off.
Thank you, Christine. We're going to move into the question and answers of the directors. I have on the list so far Steve, Lawrence, Fernando. Do I have any other? Okay, Reza. Anyone else want to be on the staff?
Jamie, can I go to the bottom of that list?
Doug Kriegel before.
Okay. I'm going to go with Lawrence then, please.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, I spoke up earlier because I didn't want us to be gagged. Not just me as an LSB member, but all the LSB members. So I took the privilege of speaking for you as well. Okay, so questions. Our CPB attorney said that there's a possibility that we can get a loan on the WBI license. Is that
no.
Viable?
No. Okay.
Well,
we're going to answer all
yes.
the questions afterwards.
Let's let Lawrence finish talking, and then we can open it up to answers, okay? Okay. We're not going to take everybody's questions at once. We'll take one person at a time, and then allow the directors to answer those questions. That's
okay.
The normal procedure.
Thank you very much. So Realty Track has estimated that the Berkeley building that is not being used to broadcast is worth, in 2012, $2.388. $2.3 million and $88. So that's almost $2.4 million. And that was in 2012. So the estimate might be even higher now. Now, the whole language of signal swap, I'll wait for Jan to finish.
I was just saying.
Okay.
I'm writing these questions.
Cool, cool. All right.
Okay,
so,
please, Lars, continue.
I'm sorry about that. So the whole language of signal swap, from what I understand, when I was on the PNB, there was a proposal for a lease management agreement, which is a better sounding thing than a signal swap. Believe me, that's a very negative connotation. So I, with the Manhattan Neighborhood Network, have you explored that? Number two, if we apply for bankruptcy on Chapter 11, they're likely not going to take us serious because of our assets. So why is that even in the equation? Negotiating the debt that we own to the Empire State Building is another thing. I think John mentioned an appeal that could possibly put off the eventual. But try to negotiate a payment plan in regards to the judgment. And I don't want to throw in the $8 million that we own, because in that case, I'll throw in my debt too, you know, as a person. I just rather go with what's the judgment right now. Deal with the judgment, and then we'll deal with our debt, as we've always been dealing with it.
Poorly. 2.5 minutes. Okay, thank you, Lars. I see that all of our directors are congregated right there, so please go ahead and do what you can to answer those questions.
Very good questions.